Turn in your Bibles with me this morning to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to find our place in verses 27 down through verse number 29. As we continue our study here in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, and particularly as we draw our attention to these three verses, we're going to be reminded again of this great man of faith who was so dear and so important to the heart of the Jewish believers to whom this letter of Hebrews was originally addressed. And as they looked back in their heritage, of course, they were believers on Christ, but they also had much to rejoice in their Jewish heritage. And they looked back to Abraham, who we already saw, and then to Moses, and they regarded these men as the fathers of their faith. And as we saw a few weeks ago, Moses, his parents first exhibited faith in their lives. And of course, what an impact and what an effect that had on Moses, as well as on his two siblings, Miriam and Aaron, who went on to have great faith and to serve the Lord. And then we saw a couple of weeks ago that Moses evidenced faith in leaving Egypt, in turning his back on the things of that Egypt had to offer, the things of this world, and choosing instead to suffer affliction with the people of God. And now we come to these verses in verses 27 through 29, and we're going to see how that Moses' faith continued to be exhibited, it continued to be evidenced. And this morning I've titled the message, Enduring Faith. Because we find that faith, which is biblical, faith which is the right kind of faith, is a dynamic faith. It is a faith which grows. It is a faith which continues on. It strengthens over time. And we could best characterize this faith as steadfast or enduring. This doesn't mean that Moses never stumbled in his faith. It doesn't mean that you and I will never stumble in our faith, but it does mean that real, genuine biblical faith is faith that grows stronger and stronger over time. Now, as we come to verses 27 through 29, this is much later in Moses' life. By this time, Moses, as you may know, at the age of 40, had chosen to get involved in a situation between an Egyptian overseer and one of the Israelite slaves. And Moses defended his Israelite brother, and in the process, he killed that Egyptian overseer. As a result, Moses had to leave the country of Egypt, and the Bible tells us in the book of Exodus that Moses went to the backside of the desert, where he became a shepherd, and he was out there in the wilderness for 40 years taking care of sheep. There, during that time, he got married, and God gave him a family. And then, at the age of 80, God came to Moses and said, "Moses, now you are ready. I have a job that I want you to accomplish." And that brings us to verse number 27, where we see here about Moses, it says, "By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned." And so we see these three snippets in the life of Moses as he endured, or as he continued in his faith in the promises of God. And this morning I have just three thoughts that I want to share with you from this passage about enduring faith. But let me say this first of all, enduring faith is the kind of faith that all of us should desire and all of us should want. Because it really doesn't do us much good to have what I will call flash in the pan faith. You know what I'm saying? Where for a moment in time you believe God and then a short time later you're back to not believing God, not obeying God, not following God. But what Moses had was not flash in the pan faith. He had enduring or steadfast faith. And as we see the characteristics of his faith, we're going to see something, some truths about enduring faith, which may be an encouragement and a help to you this morning. Notice, first of all, in verse number 27, it tells us, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king." for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And I want you to notice, first of all, this morning, that enduring faith focuses on the giver of the promise. Enduring faith focuses on the giver of the promise. Now, you might look at verse 27 and say, well, what is the difference between verse 27 and what it says in verses 24 through 26, where it says that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God? I mean, what is verse 27 talking about? Well, I believe that verse 27 is talking about when Moses came back to the land of Egypt after 40 years with those sheep, and God called him and he said, Moses, I have a job for you to do. I want you to go back to Egypt. I want you to go and stand before the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him, God has given me a message that you are to let his people go. And so Moses had to keep his focus on the giver of the promise. You understand, the children of Israel had been in slavery in Egypt now for several generations. This had become a way of life. This had become something that was so familiar to them and so much a part of who they were that they could not even imagine how God could deliver them from this situation. In fact, when Moses came and told them about the call of God in his life and that he would be leading them out of the land of Egypt back to the promised land, the people of Israel, the children of God, looked at Moses in disbelief and they said, who do you think you are? How are you going to accomplish that? Boy, we don't believe that this could possibly take place. Can you imagine how discouraging that must have been for Moses to come and tell the people that he was going to deliver, that he was going to deliver them by the power of God and have them basically just laugh in his face and say to him, no, we're not going to do that. Hey, we're not interested in that. What are you crazy? What's wrong with you? In addition to this, God told Moses, I want you to go. I don't want you to create a covert movement. I want you to go directly, face to face, into the throne room of the king of Egypt. I want you to point at him and tell him, God has given me a message, and you are to let the children of Israel go. God is going to make it so that you will let the people of Israel go. And of course, you know the response of the king of Egypt. He laughed. He said, who do you think you are? I'm not going to let the children of Israel go. They're my slaves. I'm becoming wealthy by them. I'm not going to let them leave from this place. And so when the Bible says in verse 27, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt, I believe it's speaking about that impossible task that God had called him to do, whereby God was going to work in him and lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now, it was one thing for Moses to forsake Egypt for himself, for him to say, I'm going to leave Egypt and go somewhere else. It was entirely a different thing for Moses to take 2 million people of his countrymen and say, you're coming with me, and we are all leaving the land of Egypt and going to the promised land. Now, bear in mind, the wilderness to which they were going to go, through which they would pass on their way to the promised land, and little did Moses know that they would wander in that wilderness for 40 years because of the later rebellion of the children of Israel. But Moses knew this wilderness. He knew the fact that there wasn't water. He knew the fact that it was a rugged place. He knew the fact that this was an unsuitable terrain. And yet God had called him what? To lead 2 million people on a trip through that wilderness. Now, just pause for a moment. Could you imagine being the one responsible for feeding 2 million people? I mean, 2 million people with a Sam's Club membership. Even if you had access to the warehouse store to get what you needed, could you imagine providing concessions for 2 million people? I cannot. I mean, to me, it's enough when we have a church fellowship, Brother Fetterman. And Brother Fetterman usually ends up planning for those things. And we might plan for 300 or 400 people for a meal. And that's a lot of planning, isn't it? So, brother, I'm just going to tell you that one day in your future, God may have for you to feed 2 million people. Could you imagine Moses being told this by God? You see, it was one thing for Moses to leave Egypt on his own and take care of himself, but now he is going to leave Egypt and he's taking the children of Israel with him. Can you imagine the faith that was required for him to forsake Egypt and obey the command of God? But understand, what was it that caused Moses to have this kind of enduring faith? Well, the text tells us so clearly that Moses was able to forsake Egypt, first of all, because he did not fear the wrath of the king. Now, this is not because the king of Egypt was such a benevolent fellow. It's not because he was such an easy-to-get-along-with guy. No, actually, he had a reputation for making things really hard. He had a reputation for causing a lot of trouble. He's the same brute who was responsible for killing many of the Israelite children and trying to decimate the strength of that nation. He's the same one who is trying to hold them in bondage. And God said to Moses, don't be afraid of the wrath of that king. By the way, I thought about this as I was studying that phrase and thinking about Moses' courage and his faith. I couldn't help but go back up a couple of verses to the great courage that his parents showed when they themselves did not fear the commandment of the king. They decided, we're not going to choose to fear the king. We're going to instead fear God. We're going to be afraid of God's commandment rather than the commandment of this king. Now, Moses could have responded in fear to the great power and the authority of this Egyptian king. And certainly that king had power and he had authority. He was an intimidating person. And yet Moses said, I'm not afraid of him. Why? Well, it's because Moses knew that he was called of God. He knew that God was going to provide. And we move on in verse number 27. We find there he did not fear the wrath of the king, for he endured. There's that word, his enduring faith. That word endured means he was strong and he was patient and he was steadfast. How was he able to endure? How could this be? Because it says in verse 27, as seeing him who is invisible. Now, wait a second. That's a paradox, isn't it? How are you supposed to see something that's invisible? Imagine if I said to you, do you see my invisible friend? He's right here. I'm holding him right now. Don't you see him? If any of you say yes, I'm going to get worried. No, how do you see someone who is invisible? Well, this is the topic of the entire chapter of Hebrews 11, isn't it? It's the fact that we see God, we see his ability, we see his strength, we see his power with the eyes of faith. And so while Moses could have chosen to focus on the clearly visible king of Egypt who wielded great power and authority and who was very intimidating, Moses purposely took his eyes off of the king of Egypt and he looked to the king of heaven. And he said, I'm going instead to see the one who is invisible, the one who has all power. You see, Moses' focus here is clearly called into attention. Moses was looking at the one who had given the promise, at the one who had called him to go and lead the children of Israel out. Now, Moses had seen the fire of God's presence in the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. Moses had received the words of God in commandment and revelation. Moses had continued to walk with God and to hear from God and see the power of God evidenced through his life. And time again, as he came to the king of Egypt tried to intimidate him with his power. But Moses said, I serve a greater king. My eyes are upon the giver of the promise. Do you know this morning, you and I will not have a burning bush experience in the sense that we're going to have some kind of a physical apparition show up and demonstrate to us that God is real. However, we can have enduring faith by keeping our eyes on the giver of the promise. And you know that he has revealed himself to us in his word. He's given to us a revelation of who he is. And so as we go through the times of our lives, through the difficulties that we may face in this life, the trials, the things that we confront that call our attention to the power of this world and the intimidation of all that's around us that tries to get us away from walking in faith and believing the promises of God, we have to divert our focus from that which is drawing our attention to the unseen God, to the one who has revealed himself to us in his word. And so I want you to understand this morning that enduring faith focuses on the giver of the promise. Now, let me just pause for a moment and say this. Many times we may be focused on the promise rather than the giver of the promise. And there is a subtle difference between those two things, because when you and I focus on the promise instead of on the giver of the promise, then we may be tempted to look at the circumstances and say, well, it doesn't seem like things are matching up. By the way, when Moses came and appeared before the king of Egypt and said, God has said, let my people go. Did the king of Egypt say, oh, certainly I'll let them go? No, he didn't. In other words, you could say things didn't turn out quite the way that God had said that they would. Or Moses could be tempted to think that way. But Moses knew that God, who had given the promise, was good on his word. And so he said, well, if it didn't work out this time, then I know that God is going to perform that which he has promised. Because Moses' focus was on the one who is invisible, on the God who gave the promise. If you and I will keep our eyes on the Lord, and oftentimes in times of trouble, what we need to do, instead of trying to search the answer from the Bible and say, ah, I don't know what is going on here, what is God doing? One of the things we can focus on which will help us is this question, who is God? What is God like? Meditate upon His attributes and His character, and as we see the invisible God through the eye of faith, we will find that our faith may endure. Moses' faith was enduring because he saw the giver of the promise. But then we notice, second of all, in verse number 28, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. But then in verse 28, it says, through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, we move forward a little bit. And of course, this is a continuation of that thought of how Moses was going to forsake or leave Egypt, how he was going to leave Egypt behind. And what is described in verse number 28 is the 10th plague. It represents the 10th time that Moses came before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and said, God has commanded that you let his people go. So 9 times before this, and now 10 times, Moses came before the king of Egypt and said, God has said to let his people go, and the king of Egypt would say no. And each time he said no, God would evidence his power. Sometimes, then that first time, Moses turned the water into blood. Everything in the land that was water turned to blood. Many things died. There was in there a punishment from God where locusts were sent and ate all the crops. There was a time when the darkness came upon the whole land and nothing could be seen because there was no light. There was an occasion then when the frogs came. And the frogs were all throughout the land. And this was over a period of time that Moses was confronting the king, and the king was saying no, and God was working. And then the king would maybe start to change his mind, and then he would pull back on it. And time after time, Moses was seeing the king is not going to cooperate with this plan. Now we come to the 10th plague, which is often referred to as the Passover, or the deliverance from that plague is called the Passover. And this is what is referenced in verse number 28. God had said to Moses, now go and tell the king that if he does not let my people go, in Exodus chapter 11, God told the king of Egypt through Moses very clearly, if you do not let my people go, then the death angel is going to come through the land and is going to kill all of the firstborn. And the king of Egypt hardened his heart and he said, no, I'm not going to let the people of God go. I'm going to keep them here. I don't believe that God can or will do that. And God said, I am going to do it. And so God gave instructions to the children of Israel of how to prepare. Do you remember how God said for them to prepare? He said, now go to your flock and choose out a lamb, a precious lamb, a lamb that is without blemish, a lamb that is without spot, the very best lamb that you have in the flock. Take that lamb to yourself and take the life of that lamb. Catch the blood of that lamb in a bowl, and then take the blood that is in that bowl and grab a handful of hyssop, which was like a long grass, and make a paintbrush. And then you take that paintbrush of hyssop and that bowl of blood from that lamb, and you put that blood on that paintbrush and you strike it across the doorposts and the lintel. Now think about that with me for a moment. How strange. How unusual. Why would God want the children of Israel to do such a thing? Well, certainly because of what it represents concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to see this about enduring faith. Enduring faith not only is focused on the giver of the promise, but enduring faith fulfills the command of God. Enduring faith says, well, Lord, if that's what you want, then I'll do it. Do you ever find yourself in your Christian life questioning God? God, why did you say to do that? God, why do I have to do it that way? God, why must I follow this set of instructions? God, why does your word say this? Have you ever been in a situation in your life where what God said to do did not seem to match up with the reality of your life? When you looked at God's instructions and said, if I do that, it's going to get worse. This is not going to go well. Now think with me for just a moment. What good, physically speaking, what good could it possibly do to kill one of the lambs from your flock and put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel of your house when the death angel was going to come through the land? Well, physically speaking, from man's perspective, no good at all. And in fact, did the Egyptians take this provision? Did they follow through on this? No, they did not. As they observed the Israelites doing this, perhaps they thought it was strange. Perhaps they thought it was unusual, but they didn't believe that God was going to do what He said He was going to do, and so they didn't participate. But the children of Israel, led by Moses, obeyed in this area. Through faith, he kept the Passover. By the way, it was Moses' faith which had a tremendous impact on the faith of the children of Israel so that they would be willing to obey God in this area. The sprinkling of the blood. But notice in verse 28, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. I propose to you this morning that if the children of Israel had not obeyed God's command, if they had not done what God said to do, if they had not taken the provision which God had commanded them to take, then they would also have faced the judgment of God in their lives. But see, it was faith in the life of Moses, which then impacted the children of Israel, which caused them to say, we are going to do what God wants us to do. You know, there are many times in our lives when the command of God must look to the world like, that is so strange. That is so, why do you do that? Why do you obey God in that area? That is so counterintuitive. That is so against the flesh. That is so against what we want to do. But you know, the truth is, when we have enduring faith, we become committed to this. I am going to obey God. Now, do we ever fail to obey God? Oh, sure we do. But you know what? The underlying attitude of a person with genuine faith is, I want to do what God says for me to do. Even when we fail, we ask God to forgive us and we try to get back up and do what He has asked us to do. Now, there was no other way for the children of Israel to escape the sure judgment of God upon the land of Egypt except to be obedient to His command to kill the Passover, to sprinkle the blood. Ultimately, Moses and the children of Israel were delivered because they obeyed God. There's a similar command in the New Testament which says something like this, that we should obey the gospel. Do you know that those who obey not the gospel will face the judgment of God in their lives? And many people look at the message of the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ has died in their place, that He has shed His blood for their sin. They look at the good news that Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose again, and they think about that message with disdain. They say, oh, how could that change my life? How could that good news make me different? I need to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I need to be more religious. I need to work harder. And so man sets about to do this on his own, and he does not obey the gospel, and in doing so, he seals his doom. Do you know, the children of Israel were obedient to the commandment of God, and I believe that Moses evidenced his enduring faith by encouraging the children of Israel to go ahead and obey the commandment of God in the Passover. Now, if you think that that was easy for Moses, then I think you maybe need to rethink your thinking. Did you catch that? You need to scratch your head and say, how was this received by the people? I mean, the children of Israel had heard already many times that God was going to deliver them. Had God delivered them yet? No, He had not. They were still in the land of Israel. They had heard that God was going to allow them to go out. Had God done that? Had He kept His promise? No, not yet. And now Moses comes and he says to them, this is what God wants you to do, and this is how you ought to obey God. And the children of Israel were influenced by Moses' enduring faith. Enduring faith is committed to fulfilling or obeying the commandment of God, even when our flesh and the world around us says, that is foolish. That's not going to work out. Now, enduring faith is focused on the giver of the promise, and enduring faith fulfills the command of God. But now, notice, third of all, the third little snippet out of Moses' life, which is mentioned in this passage in verse 29, it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. And I say to you this morning, enduring faith follows God through the impossible. So now follow the story. As Moses came and he commanded the king of Egypt, God had said, let my people go. 10 times he commanded the king of Egypt to do this. 10 times the king of Egypt said no. No, no, no. After that 10th plague, when the death angel came through the land, and of course the Egyptians did not prepare, the Israelites did prepare. And so the death angel came through the land. There was a great wailing and mourning in the land. The firstborn of every household that did not prepare, specifically the Egyptians, was struck with death. There was great mourning. And the people said, get these people of Israel out of our country. And Pharaoh said, get those people and take them out of here. Get rid of them. God brought them out with a strong hand. And they left. Now you may recall in the story in the book of Exodus, they had borrowed from their Egyptian neighbors their jewels and their gold and all these sorts of things, and they took all of this with them, all these riches. They left the country. Some 2 million people now have left the country of Egypt and are headed for the promised land. After they got a little ways out, the king of Egypt had a change of heart. He said, we can't lose all these slaves. We need to bring them back. And so he gathered his army together and he said, we're going to chase them down and we're going to bring them back. They have no weapons. They're still our slaves. We'll bring them back here. We're not going to let this happen again. The king of Egypt came after them. And as he was chasing them, the Bible says that God shielded the children of Israel with a pillar of clouds by day and a pillar of fire by night, so that the Egyptian army couldn't get to them. And the children of Israel just kept traveling and traveling, and they got to the Red Sea. Now, when they got to the Red Sea, their backs were literally up against the wall. There was nowhere to turn. By the way, some commentators who are critical of the fact that the Bible teaches about miracles will say this: it wasn't the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea. It was some little tributary that the people of Israel were easily able to march across. There was no miracle here, nothing like that. And all I can say is, first of all, you need to learn to read. And second of all, if you don't believe in the God of miracles, then just throw the Bible away. Stop trying to justify the Bible with your way of thinking. Either God is a God who can do miracles or not. And so here they are at the Red Sea. That's what the Bible says. At the Red Sea, there was nowhere for them to go. The Egyptian army is behind them. The sea is in front of them. The children of Israel are distressed. They are upset. They are angry. They come to Moses. Why did you bring us here to die? You brought us out into the wilderness. Now you've really done it. We could be back in Egypt enjoying our life. Enjoying our life. You see how things change. And instead we're here and now we're going to die. You've done this to us. And Moses says, God, what should I do in this situation? How could you bring us? You brought us to this place. Surely you have something you want to do. And God said, I am going to do something. Use your rod and I'm going to divide the waters. Now, what does our text say about how they went across the Red Sea? As on dry land. Now, I don't know how much you know about a recently drained area that was holding water. but it typically is not dry. So this was clearly a miracle of God. God divided the waters. He allowed the ground to be dry where they would walk across. And I believe this was a deep part of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went across obeying God. Now, remember this. Enduring faith believes God in the face of the impossible. There will be many times in your Christian life and in my Christian life when we come up against our own personal Red Sea, where we look at what we are confronted with, the decision that we have in front of us, the situation, and we say, Lord, I do not possibly see how obeying you in this situation is going to result in anything good. I don't see how this is going to work out. Lord, I don't see what's going to happen in this. And this is where enduring faith comes in, where we have to choose to believe God rather than our gut instinct. Now, take note there in verse 29, because the children of Israel went across. It was Moses' enduring faith which caused him to ask God and then to obey God when God gave him the instructions over exactly what he should do. But notice there in verse 29, at the very end of the verse, it says, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. You see, the Egyptians, who were not the people of God, said, well, if the children of Israel can go across, we can go across. If they can do it, we can do it. You know, there have been many people, unregenerate people, who've seen the people of God do great things through faith, and they've said, well, if they can do it, I can do it. You know the thing that's missing? God. The one who made it possible in the first place. Here's the Egyptians, and they said, well, we're gonna come after them. We're gonna chase them down. And of course, God just let the waters go. And the entire Egyptian army was drowned, taken away. Miraculously, just like that, a problem that seemed so overwhelming to the children of Israel was gone. The Egyptian army was obliterated. The Red Sea was closed. Their path was clear before them, and we would say, yip, yip, hooray. They should have no more problems with faith from here on out, right? And so then you have to go to the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy and read about what actually happened and how many times the children of Israel would come to Moses and say, Moses, how can this be happening? What is God doing to us? Why is God trying to ruin our life? Why didn't God just leave us in Egypt? And Moses would say, don't you see all that God has done? Don't you think that God will provide again? We see this man, Moses, having enduring faith that followed God through the impossible. Have you noticed in your life and mine that we have a tendency to look at our problems through the eyes of the flesh? For instance, you may have some financial difficulty. And we sit down and we start thinking and planning. And by the way, I'm not against planning and I'm not against thinking. But what we should do first is get on our face before God and say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? And Lord, how should I respond in this situation? What do you want me to do? And Lord, are you going to provide in this situation? But you know what we do is we immediately start figuring and we say, well, if I do this and if I do that and if I do this other thing, I can surely figure it all out. And what God wants us to do is trust Him. He wants us to believe Him that He can and will work on our behalf. Understand this with me this morning. The God who parted the Red Sea for Moses is no less powerful today than he was then. Now, I don't suggest that you go out to the Atlantic Ocean and hit it with a rod and tell God to split the water. That's not the application here. But I am going to say to you that many times we confront our own Red Sea, we confront our own difficulty, and as we're looking at that difficulty, we need to look through the eyes of faith, making sure that we are following God. Now think about this with me this morning. Ask yourself this question. What is too hard for God? What is it that God cannot do? What is it that God is unable to take care of? What is so hard that it would test the ability of God to do it? Now we know biblically the answer to that is nothing. But do you struggle with that thought? Do you sometimes look at the circumstances of your life, the situations that are confronting you, and say, can God handle this? By the way, that's why we go about to try to handle it ourselves, isn't it? This is what happens to me sometimes. I get in a jam. I get in a situation, and I sit down and think about it for a while, and then I come to God and I say, I've got a solution for you, Lord. I've got this all figured out. I've actually got it outlined, so it's very easy to follow the instructions. And if you want, I'll color code it so that you can know exactly what to do when. And we've got everything laid out very clearly for you. And so I just want to give this to you, and this is my suggestion. And then you know what happens if God doesn't follow my plan? I get upset with Him. God, I had it all figured out. I knew exactly what you were supposed to do, when you were supposed to do it, and how you were supposed to do it. God, you are not following my plan. Have you ever been there? That's because God is a God of the impossible. And oftentimes, I believe God wants to get us to a place where we say to Him, I don't know what to do, Lord. I don't have any solutions. All I can do is trust you. Now, enduring faith has its focus on the giver of the promise. Enduring faith is careful to fulfill the command of God, even when we don't understand the command of God, even when we don't agree with the commandment of God, even when our flesh tells us doing that is not going to be the best way or the right way. And enduring faith follows God through the impossible. Now, all these things are linked together, and all of them point back to that phrase in verse number 27, for he endured. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. You might ask the question this morning, what was the staying power that kept Moses in the fight? What was it that kept Moses faithful to God through the great difficulties that he faced? It was this: he endured as seeing him who is invisible. His focus was on God. This morning, I ask you this question: how about you? How is your faith? Would you say your faith is enduring, that it's steadfast? Or do you find that your faith is weak? Maybe you could say with that person in the New Testament, in the Gospels, who spoke to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I want to trust you, and I do trust you, but my flesh is weak. I wonder this morning if you've determined to look at God and His promises rather than at the threatening circumstances. Have you determined this morning to obey God in His clear commands? Have you reflected this morning upon the fact that God has delivered through the impossible before and that He can do it again? You see, there's a difference between flash-in-the-pan faith and enduring faith. Enduring faith will be with you for life. Flash-in-the-pan faith is not faith at all. It's just an emotional experience, a momentary, well, I think I can trust God, and then you go right back to your flesh. But enduring faith is different altogether. Enduring faith is faith that can affect a nation. Faith that can affect those around. But my question for you this morning is your faith enduring? Is your faith genuine? Is your focus on the giver of the promise? Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. No one's looking around this morning. As you think about this passage of Scripture and the enduring faith that Moses evidenced, I want to ask you to be honest with yourself before God. Ask yourself this question: what kind of faith do I have? Is my faith enduring? Am I being steadfast in believing and following the promises of God? It could be possible this morning that there is some specific Red Sea incident that you are facing in your life. It could be that you need to put your eyes on the giver of the promise instead of the problem that is looming large before you. This morning, have you made a clear determination in your heart that you are going to obey God, that you are going to do the commands of God no matter what? no matter how it appears that it will end up, no matter what anybody else thinks. This morning, how has God spoken to your heart? The musicians are going to play the invitation hymn, Trust and Obey. You know, the Christian life is just that simple. Trust, believe God, and obey. Do what God has said. This is exactly what Moses evidenced, and this is the exact pattern that you and I should follow in our lives. Has God spoken to your heart this morning? We encourage you to come. You can talk to the Lord here at the front. You can talk to the Lord there in your seat. If you need some spiritual help, we'd be glad to answer your questions with an open Bible. We would want to show you what God says and not what we think. We would show you the answers that God has for your life. Maybe God has put something on your heart this morning. How do you need to obey God? Will you trust Him? And will you obey? Would you come this morning if God has spoken to your heart? Let God have His way as the piano plays. Let God have His way in your heart. What does God want you to do?